Indigenous women in the United States are murdered 10 times more often than any other ethnicity. Nearly half of all Alaskan Native and Native American women have experienced intimate partner violence in their lifetime. Since 2017, May 5th has been recognized as the National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit People. The day is often referred to as MMIWG2S or MMIW. Indigenous activists leading the movement are speaking up about the issue, saying that this day of awareness is not enough. It's time for action. I had the honor of sharing space with three Unangan women to shed light on the topic and hear about how they are being advocates in their own communities. Tatum Robinson is a Unangah artist, scholar, and activist from Unalaska. She says MMIWG2S is a transnational crisis.
I wouldn't describe it as like a pandemic or epidemic, because in my opinion, it's a crisis that is directly linked to genocide. It's a very serious topic, and unfortunately, Indigenous peoples don't have the support, I feel, from law enforcement that they really deserve.
In 2018, a survey by the Seattle-based Urban Indian Health Institute reported almost 6,000 Alaska Native and Native American women and girls were missing from 71 urban cities. Of these missing women, less than 120 were registered in the Department of Justice database. Robinson says missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people fall under the radar far too often.
It happens way too frequently. Like, one time is too many to see a post saying, this person is missing, Fairbanks, Anchorage, et cetera, area, height, weight, details about what they were last wearing, who they were last with. When you see that on a post on Instagram or Twitter, any social media, it's like that sinking feeling of, God, I really hope that they make it home. And I hope that the police take it seriously.
Social media has become a large platform for sharing information about MMIWG2S. Posts are shared to raise awareness, but have also become a form of searching for missing people. By creating a public post about a missing person, people are able to reshare the content, which helps spread information quickly. The ultimate goal is to help bring a missing person home or find a lead to their whereabouts, but that doesn't always happen. Here's Robinson again.
It's a sobering realization, especially as an Indigenous person and knowing Indigenous people and having tight-knit communities and friends and family, that if myself or any one of them were to go missing, that there's a possibility that the report and support that we would need from law enforcement wouldn't be as big of an impact as you would regularly see for someone who is missing or murdered.
Robinson believes that harmful stereotypes about Alaska Natives and Native Americans contribute to the lack of response from law enforcement.
That we deserve to feel safe. We deserve to feel valid, regardless of our background, habits, whatever it might be, our story, our upbringing, that we deserve the same treatment. We really do, because there is a drastic inequality that I feel like will only be addressed if we keep being loud about it.
While there may be more effective ways to take action in the future, Robinson believes that having a vocal and aware community is a most reliable way to bring home missing persons. Robinson recently graduated with her bachelor's in science and biology from the University of Hawaii Manoa and is the artist behind Kawach Creations, a seal intestine jewelry line. She uses her social media platform to raise awareness about various social justice issues, including MMIWG2S. Beyond awareness, Shayla Shishnikov, the climate resiliency coordinator for the Kaulungan tribe, brings attention to who might be causing these crimes. She says there's a direct connection between resource extraction and the violence against Native women.
MMIW is an epidemic that we have in our country as well as in other countries as a result of the presence of extractive industry largely due to man camps and things like that. And that's only one form of violence that we're seeing from extractive industries. There's a lot more that come with that, but missing and murdered Indigenous women is definitely a consequence.
Man camps, or work camps, are temporary housing communities set up for laborers hired by extractive industries. In the case of oil, pipelines often cut through or around reservations and other marginalized communities. While migrating across native land, these transient workers are also committing violent crimes, says Shishnikov. And for reservations already underserved by law enforcement, response to missing persons cases are low. With little action being done to protect Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people, Indigenous groups have been the stewards in bringing this crisis to the light. Shishnikov says while it's important for Indigenous people to do that work, it's also unfortunate that those communities have to bear the weight.
A lot of the people committing these crimes are slipping through jurisdictional cracks. And so it's left to us to stand up and say something about it and make sure that these voices are heard, because Indigenous women are oftentimes sexually assaulted and murdered at rates that are like 10 times more than any other ethnicity.
She says this responsibility is a community-wide effort.
I think it's really important to keep spreading awareness and to hold each other accountable, not only for women to speak up and speak on this, but also for the men as well.
Last year, the Cowlingan tribe had a fundraising event where they encouraged people to wear red and post it on social media with the hashtag #NoMoreStolenSisters. For every person that shared a picture, the tribe donated to the cause. This year, they're hosting a socially distanced craft night to honor MMIWG2S and spread awareness. Shishnikov has helped plan MMIWG2S events at the tribe for the last 2 years and is a vocal activist in the cause. She is currently finishing her second Bachelor's of Science in Environmental Science, attending classes at Western Washington University remotely. Last summer, she also completed her first traditional Ikyak, or Ununga skin-on-frame sea kayak build. She hopes to continue living in the Aleutian region and being a passionate advocate for her people. Finally, I spoke with Haley Hanna-Stepitin from Akutan, an Ununga dancer and PhD candidate at the University of California, Davis. Stepitin believes safety rests in the hands of community, and that it's the community's responsibility to take action to protect women, girls, and Two-Spirit people alike. But she says that responsibility requires more than just recognizing the problem.
Awareness is just like the first thing. And I don't even think awareness is what we need to be focusing on. Like, we need to be focusing on the safety of missing and murdered Indigenous women, of living Indigenous women, so that they don't become missing or murdered. And that's something that's like always in my head, like, how do I protect my kin from becoming missing or murdered?
And for Stepitin, she says the question of how to help is a call to action.
Like, okay, we have the responsibility now to take care of our kin and our women, you know, our sisters. It's our responsibility to ensure their safety. And so safety to me is community-based, it's community-created, and it's community-constituted. Doesn't rest outside of our communities. Like, it's our own responsibility, I think.
One of the ways that Stepitin creates space for dialogue in her own community is through dance. In 2018, Stepitin performed with Indigenized Productions, an Indigenous production company based in Seattle, Washington. Stepitin's performance was dedicated to MMIWG2S, but also to all the Ununga that were held at internment camps during World War II. After the Japanese invasion of the Aleutian chain, many villagers from the region were relocated to Southeast Alaska, where they were forcibly interned. Poor living conditions and a lack of medical care led to the death of 1 in 10 people. Many were buried there and never made it home, similar to the Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people that are still missing today. Stepitin says her performance materializes the resilience of those Ununga who never returned home.
So the performance was called Slaroch Chiranach Alakach, which means the wind is not a river. And this was a common phrase, I'm sure you know, and you've heard that they said in the World War II internment, as a way to remind us that nothing is permanent, like the wind, like in the Aleutian
Islands. Some of the inspiration for her performance was influenced by traditional hunting stories told by her late father, Thomas Stepitin.
And so we've been having these for a long time, Simbath. And my dad said we would use the soot of the fire and put it on yourself to cleanse, and before you go hunting to hide your scent so that you could hunt. And I was like, I need a fire and I need like black paint. I'm gonna paint myself, I'm gonna smudge myself as a performance. But I was also like, I think I also need red paint because I want to bring in the MMIWG movement and bring attention to the fact that a lot of our people never came home after that.
Stepitin stated that World War II was a significant marker in history that changed the way culture was embraced by Unangah people.
It affected our dance, the transmission of our dance, and our language and our like spirituality. It affected a lot of these things. It interrupted them. I'm not going to say that we lost anything, because I don't like the rhetoric of loss. I don't like saying that. And allowing outside influences to have that sort of impact on us, we're stronger than that. We're here today, you know, like we're much stronger than anything could, like they don't get to decide what we lose and what we don't lose. So I don't ever say that we lost anything. It went to sleep, and it went to sleep for good reason. We were mourning.
But Stepitin says that lack of permanence means that these things can be reawakened. For example, she says when she was tattooed by Unangah artist Dustin Newman, that was a chance to recover a sleeping tradition.
We reawoke in our tradition of however, like 150 years, you know, that was before the World War II internment, because in Russian Orthodoxy, we're not allowed to tattoo. So it had been stopped for a long time. But these things are reawakening now. It's like
making jewelry, building traditional ikkyon, and dance are just some of the ways Unangah from the region are leading the revitalization movement here. With a growing sense of community among Indigenous youth, voices are growing louder and narratives are shifting. The weight of this crisis has been carried by Indigenous people for far too long, and it is time for non-Indigenous folks to be active allies in this cause. Here are a few things you can do to start. Donate to grassroots organizations that are doing the groundwork, such as Native People Action located in Anchorage. Continue to listen to and uplift the voices of Indigenous people. And lastly, Tumanin Ayagin Aglisakthin, protect our women. And in Unalaska, I'm Kenesha McGlashan-Price.